I just realized that Brother Roddy has me sandwiched between Brother Taylor and Brother Osborne, two, what I believe to be two, the finest and the greatest preachers that we could have. In fact, we've been blessed at the chapel for many of our visiting brethren who come our way. Sometimes we take it for granted because, you know, we have them maybe often. But believe me, there have been choice men down through the years that you've had here in this chapel. And how many heard the broadcast this morning with Brother Taylor? Hey, that's very encouraging. I heard it a second time, and, you know, I really enjoyed it more this morning than I did. So I'm glad that we've got four or five of them that we're going to be putting on the air, Lord willing. Loxley and Grant have been helping me a lot with this. Really appreciate it. Otherwise, we get in taping down at the station. It costs us a little for that. I want you to turn this morning to 1 Kings 17. We've never been able to get through Dear Elijah. And I'm not doing it just to get through the lives of or some of the highlights of Elijah, but I'm doing it because I believe it's appropriate for the day, appropriate for the occasion. There are a lot of people who are distressed, a lot of people with physical problems, emotional problems, and I just feel burdened of going the life of Elijah. If any man that has so many practical lessons for us today, as you study the life of Elijah, you'll find it in it. Chapter 17 of 1 Kings said, "Then Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have that I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." May the Lord bless that part, the reading of the word. We won't get beyond that. So we'll just stop there for the time being. If you read the former chapter, beloved, you discover the word says that King Ahab did more wickedly than all of the kings. And if you read that verse, then you'll get a little idea of the burden of the prophet Elijah. Elijah knew this. And living in the midst of this declension in the kingdom of Israel, this man of God was faithful indeed to the word of God. It's so much like John the Baptist. He abruptly comes on the scene. And he has a message to give. He gives it. And then, of course, he is also taken away abruptly into a chariot at the end of his life. But God had a ministry for him. And every time I study Elijah, the Lord always gives me a few more thoughts to encourage my heart. Because we are told in James, he's a man like you. He's a person like you. And he's like me. That's encouraging. One of the great prophets of the Old Testament. And yet in the New Testament, James says, he is just like us, but a man who had a burden for prayer. A man who had a concern for Israel. So we come to him now, and as you study the life of Elijah, and these are not my thoughts, but if you want to remember the life of Elijah, there are about six no things in his life. And Charles McIntosh, who has a great article on Elijah, brings this out very beautifully. And I heard Wendell Grout bring it out as well. It says, no rain, verse 7, verse 12, no cake, and verse 17, no breath, And 1821 said, no word. And 1843, no cloud. Chapter 19, verse 4, he said, I am no better than my fathers. So that characterizes the life of Elijah, or the, let's say, the thing that happened in the life of Elijah. What we want to do this morning is speak briefly about no rain. No rain. The problem of drought. Now, I realize that that is in a literal sense. There was a drought. There was no rain. But, you know, if we spiritualize this and apply it, each one of us knows something about a drought in our life. I know I have. And I know I'm speaking to Bible class, and you're honest. And in your own heart, as you probe a little deeper this morning, you can honestly say there have been periods in your life of a drought. Maybe you're going through a drought now. But that's not the end of the world. It's not the end of life. Thank God for that. The Lord understands that. He knows about these periods that we are going through. And Elijah went through his, as we shall see later on. But in his the command that the Lord gave him, he said, go, and I'm going to sustain you at the brook. He says, I'm going to feed you as well. And so he leaves the palace, the place of comfort, and he goes out to this brook in obedience to the word of the Lord. He didn't question God. He didn't approach him scientifically or anything like that. Just as a man, he listened to the word of God. God said, I want you to go. I want you to go to this particular place, and I want you to wait there. It's there I'm going to sustain you. And that's all Elijah needed. He said, all right, Lord, since you gave the promise and you want me to go, Elijah went. Absolute obedience. Brother Morris, the other evening, beautifully portrayed the importance of abiding. If you want to understand a little clearly what that word abide means, and he brought it out briefly, it's obedience. If I not only read the word, abiding in the word, but obeying the word, then God promises us a blessing. But then you say, but Frank, I've been doing this. I've been obeying the word of God, but I still have these particular problems that come up in my life. There's still a drought. There's still those adverse circumstances. Well, listen, I don't understand that. I must admit to you this morning. I don't understand how some people seem to have a lot more trials than I do. I don't understand about some people who have been seriously ill. And we were talking about it in a prayer meeting the other morning, how we prayed and wept before God and believed that God could do it. There wasn't a question of faith. It wasn't a question of our little faith. And yet, in all of this, God still did not answer our prayer. Just a drought and sadness. And the prayer was an answer. Other circumstances, we didn't pray as hard. And we were talking about sickness, by the way. And I don't mean to be personal this morning, because you have to watch this sometime. But, and our dear beloved brother's not with us this morning. But in the case of Rhonda, for instance, I believe that God was going to spare her to us. You know that? I really did. We prayed, and we rejoiced when we heard there would be times of remission, and she got well. But then there are other circumstances that we didn't pray as hard. I don't see my good friend Edwin here this morning. But a doctor told a doctor friend of his that that man would not live, be here 6 months from now. I don't know if you know it, but Edwin had melanoma. And the doctor said he wouldn't last no more than 6 months. You know, the doctor's been dead now. He died about 4 years after that. Edwin is still with us. And I think that's about 20 years. Do you understand that? Melanoma is the fastest growing cancer that we have in the human body. You know that, don't you? Again, I say, I'm being personal, I know, but I hope God will get glory out of it. And may God give my beloved sister, Betty Jean, many, many more years. She's also been through the circumstances 10 years now. My sister Mary, they told her Serious. Extremely serious. The same problem of this dear sister I mentioned a little while ago. And we prayed. The church prayed. Families prayed. 20 years now. She's still alive. Do you understand these things? I don't. I honestly don't. I was talking to Brother Roddy the other day. I said, Brother Roddy, had it not been for the fact that I believe in the sovereignty of God, I believe I'd lose my mind. I have more peace in trusting God's sovereignty now as I get older than anything in the world. And I believe, beloved, that we need to understand these things as we look at them from God's point of view. We don't understand them. But like Elijah, when he went to the brook, and I could see the mighty prophet. Listen, he was drinking. And here's a man prayed, no rain. And the heavens were shut up. You know, and he prayed. And exactly what happened? No rain. There was a drought. And yet here he is, sitting at the well, by that brook rather, and supply of water every day. And of all creatures, a raven, which is a bird of prey, an unclean bird, God works in mysterious ways sometimes, and this bird is bringing him his food, his meal, morning, noon, and night. And then one day, the brook, what? Dried up. And this is the thing that this produced his test, his first test. And the brook may dry up in your life and in my life. You see, if I become comfortable in my circumstances, and Brother Taylor was bringing out so beautifully, he may bless us with this, he may bless us abundantly in our trade, our business, and with health and so on, and the things that we enjoy, nothing wrong with that. He said, but knowing God is more important. And Elijah was brought face to face now with a crisis in his life. He came to the brook and it was dried up. Well, wait a minute, Elijah. Did you pray? No rain? Sometimes what we pray for, if God answered it, we might be disappointed. You might say, Brother Frank, that doesn't sound very logical. Let me give you an example. We are praying for revival. And God knows there's a drought in the land. We need revival. Right? But if a revival comes, it may mean that I have to get up 2 a.m. to deal with souls. Am I ready for that? Am I ready to spend more time in prayer? Am I ready to have that burden in my heart? You know? So sometimes what you pray for, and yesterday morning, in fact, humorously speaking, one brother prayed or said that we need more patience. Brother Roddy says, boy, you know what work is patience? He said, tribulation. So you pray for patience, you better be careful. Because if tribulation worketh patience and you pray for patience, am I prepared for the tribulation? You see? The adverse circumstances in life can be a blessing, and no doubt God will work out the blessing in our life. But I need to be spiritually prepared, man, for these things. Believe me. And I'm not always prepared for it. We know what it is. Some of us know what it is. The brook of finances may dry up for some people. You know, God has been good to our land, true. But it's not impossible for the brook of finances to dry up. If God sees that I'm too dependent on one particular thing in life, some of the blessings, it could very well be that God could take it away. And you know, I don't want to sound pessimistic this morning or produce a cloud where there's no cloud. Enjoy what God has given us now. But I believe the lesson here is not to depend on the brook like Elijah depended on the brook. Not to depend on the circumstances, those good circumstances. Don't depend on it. Otherwise, don't lean on it with all your life, with all your soul, with all your mind. Lean on the Lord. And so if the adverse circumstances come, you're prepared spiritually. You say, well, listen, God is good to us. He gave us so many good years. Now there's a lean year. He gave us an abundance, and now there's not the abundance. And if we look or watch television, the more you look at countries like those poor old people in Russia. 50 below zero. No water or heating system whatsoever. The power has been shut down. No generator. They said, we always have it 50 below, but what's happening is everything is so old and outdated and obsolete that nothing is working anymore. And it just broke my heart to see the old women. If I could only have just a hot cup of water to get one cup of tea, hot tea. That's all, just one hot cup of tea. How often do I think the brook that dried up in Russia, that part of Russia. Breaks your heart, doesn't it? The Nubian Christians up in the north there or in Africa, just because they're Christians, they're slaughtered, they're murdered right now. And where supplies, medical supplies and food is deliberately kept from them. And the nations of the world are shutting their eyes to it. You know why? They're Christians. For some reason or the other, there is a war against believers, Christians, no matter where they are, even in America. You've seen how they question Mr. Ashcroft. I don't know whether he's a believer or not, but simply because he's against abortion. And they have rode that man. They've questioned and they've drilled and they've probed Mr. Ashcroft. I don't know him. I don't follow American politics that closely. But they know that he's against abortion. He must be a Christian. That's the first thing that pops up in their mind. And anything related to Jesus Christ, our Lord, in some nations, they are anti. Automatically. And they hate us. Because they disagree with us. Or it's because it's right. They don't want to admit that the church is right. There's a drought in America, believe me. The moral status of that nation has gone so low. And why believers are burdened about it is because they may invoke the judgment of God on America because of what they're doing. But listen, we do not have to go very far. You'd be surprised how much of it is committed even in the Bahamas. But God is against all of this, we know. However, you know, it's amazing. He takes an unclean bird. And even in the life of the Lord Jesus, have you ever noticed how many animals involved? I've never made a study of it, but at his baptism there was a what? A dove, a symbol of peace. When he rode into Jerusalem, he was on a donkey, a burden, a beast of burden. To illustrate his point with dear Peter, he used a what? When Peter denied him, a rooster. You know, it's amazing. That how God will use these animals as birds and when they were worried about the taxes to pay to the Roman, give tribute, what did he use then? A fish. This tells me this, beloved, that no matter what the circumstances in your life, no matter what the drought, no rain, or no matter how adverse, no matter how difficult, God will provide for you. He'll take care of you, even if he will have to use a fish to do it, one fish. And if you will just realize that God is a God of power, and that he is a God of ability, and he will use something to sustain you. Like he did in this man's case, he used a bird, and later he used a starving woman, and the last years of his life, he used an angel to feed him, to sustain him. That's sort of graduating, isn't it, to something even better and greater. But he is comfortable, and the thought is this, I want you to keep this in mind, the brook dried up. But that wasn't the end of his life. And why we do not lean on this thing, his faith deepened, he had a personal faith in God, and he obeyed the word of God, and he also had a communal faith because he was concerned about the people, as a whole. He was concerned about that woman who needed help. And I've often said this, and I believe it's fitting that I repeat it. It's difficult for us to help others unless we've had the experience of being knowing the blessing of God ourselves. If you've never been blessed and never realized that you've been helped, it's difficult for you to help somebody else. If you've gone through it, and you know all about it, You can share a lot with a lot of people as a result of this. And so he prays for no rain. He's now without water. And he was prepared for it, apparently, because he remembered the Lord and he obeyed the word of God. Speaking of water, there's so much said in the life of the Lord Jesus regarding areas of water. He turned water into wine, a symbol of exhilaration, a symbol of joy. Then he gives rivers, streams, overflowing in our life by the Holy Spirit. Beautiful symbol there of water again. Overflowing in our life. Rivers of living water. The blind that was healed at the pool of Siloam and pool of Bethesda, that dear man that was a cripple for 38 years. And he takes water and he washes the disciples' feet. Well, there are a lot of lessons you can learn from pictures of water in the New Testament, in the Word of God. In fact, at Kedron or Cedron, as it's pronounced in one place, there he is seen praying. You know, so much is said about water. I give you one last picture of water, and to me it's a symbol of a finished work. When the man, the Roman soldier, pierced his side, out came what? Blood and water. Someone has said that because of intense suffering, doctors, medical science has said that the water, the sac, there is a sac that fills up, if that be the case, all the water that came out, if the spear went to his heart, can you imagine how much suffering the Lord Jesus must have went through? But it's an indication to us, though, that he was dead. They said that he wasn't dead. He went through the swoon theory. Ridiculous. He died. They made sure of that, too. They made sure of that. So then, we want to be occupied with the blesser rather than the blessings, like been brought out recently. We want the master, not the means. We want the giver, not the gifts. We want Christ, not the circumstances. Christ, not even the channels of blessing. So we need to watch for this. So if the brook should dry up in your life, remember it's not over, all right? It's not finished. God will always provide for you. If he takes away one thing, he will replace it with something that you'll be satisfied with. All right, then we need to wholly trust him then. Remember, dear Mary Magdalene, perhaps this was the worst of all when she cried as she saw the Lord, thinking him to be the gardener. She said, tell me. They have, first of all, she said, she prefaced her remarks with this. She said, they have taken away my Lord. Tell me where they have borne him. I'll go and I'll get him myself. Paraphrasing it, of course. But they have taken away my Lord. Every time I read that, I say, Frank, is there anything? Now we know we won't lose our salvation. But we certainly can lose our fellowship. I can lose my joy. But the thing is this, in a spiritual sense, has anything taken away the Lord from me? You know what I mean. I'm not speaking of our salvation. In fact, the whole message this morning by Brother Taylor, on the broadcast, was what? Knowing him, a deeper knowledge of the Lord. And so that is extremely important today. Is there anything robbing me of his presence, robbing me of his promises, robbing me of his power? Is there anything standing between the Lord and myself? And of course, in the course of life, there are many things, and one need to judge themselves personally. I can't, certainly will not be judgmental of other people. All of us need to just be faced with these things ourselves. But they have taken away my Lord. So he closes one door, like he did here, and he opens another. He buries one Christian and he raises up another Christian. But his blessings keep coming. Always remember that. They always are there. They always are sufficient. I think of Jeremiah 17:5, a very solemn verse. You don't turn to it. But he says, the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. Cursed be the man. Strong language. God knows the folly and the foolishness of depending on the arm of flesh. He knows how that we're doomed to failure if we lean on our own understanding, if we lean on our own wisdom, our own flesh, strength, the symbol of strength. And the Lord knows that this is foolish to depend on Him. You know what it does? It excites the heart of God and makes Him happy. We please Him when we trust Him. Because they that come to God must believe that He is. Because we can't please Him. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The more we trust Him, the more we diligently search for Him and pray to Him and believe in Him, the more delight becomes His. And to think that I can please God that way is more than I deserve. That we can bring pleasure to Him by trusting Him. You know, if your child keeps going to the neighbor for help and not to you, might hurt you after a while. You know, if they go to them for material help instead of coming to you first as a father, you might question yourself, wait a minute. Now, we know there's no lack with God, and it may be no lack with you as a father. You're a good father. You're a generous father. You're a kind father. But I'm only illustrating a point now, not suggesting that this exists, but if he keeps going to someone else, wouldn't that sort of make you feel a bit uncomfortable? Of course it would. Because the natural order between father and son is that you're just willing to help your son. You want to give the best to your son. You want to do everything in your power for your son. But he avoids you. You see? And he goes to someone else all the time. This can really become very irksome. And the Lord said, don't trust in the arm of flesh. He said, whose heart departeth from the Lord, for he shall be like the hearth in the desert, rather than like a plant. He shall be like a plant and a tree, if you trust in the Lord, whose hope is yours because you trust in Him. Well, I think some of us know what it is, a desert plant. Some of them can survive very little rain. But as a believer, you and I cannot survive without the water of the Word. We can't survive without the refreshment of the presence of God. We will wither, we will dry up, and just like the brook that this man depended on for a while, as a tree, our roots will dry as well. We need to realize that He is the water of life, and we need to tap into those resources, tap into it. And may our roots grow, and may they just deepen, and may they find the true sap, the true water there, so that it'll produce fruit in abundance. The great songwriter said, oh Christ, He is the what? The fountain. The deep, sweet well of love that we drink in, and we drink, and we drink. Someone has said, and if I stay at the well and complain that the brook that is dry and complain, I'll become bitter, callous, complaining. Be that as it may, there are lessons to be learned there. It's so easy to complain. I can be a better man by recognizing that God's hand is in all of these things. You know, a Hindu man said once, and I thought of it many times, and it sort of makes me feel a bit of shame. He told a Christian, because a Christian saw that he was slightly interested in the Lord. And the Hindu man looked at him and he said this. He said, sir, he says, I want your Christ, but I don't want your Christianity. Boy, what a slap in the face that was. You think of that. I don't want your Christianity. I want your Christ. You see, this is not true, of course. There are godly churches, there are godly Christians, there are faithful Christians. But what he saw was were churches that only had a name. He saw religion without any power, without any real purpose. He saw religion that was exacting rather than giving. He didn't see mercy. He didn't see love. He didn't see the compassion that Jesus talked about and taught. What he saw was a religion, or even some so-called circles under the guise of Christianity, who were displaying a very poor product of Christianity. That's why he said what he said. It was Mahatma Gandhi who said to a very good friend of his who was a preacher, and he told him one day, he said, you know, if your church, the Christians of your church would believe the teachings of Jesus Christ, you could turn the world upside down. And that came from Mahatma Gandhi, a Hindu man. And it is true, beloved, the teachings of Christ, they are very difficult. They are difficult sometimes. Love your enemy. That's very difficult, isn't it? Turn the other cheek. One slaps you on one side of the face, turn the other side. Give. If you only have two mites, give the two mites. You know, he that saveth his life shall what? Lose it. But he that loses his life shall save it. Now that's contrary to logic. But with God, it is not contrary. With God, God said, when you turn it over to me and you lose it, and I'm in control, that's when you're going to save it. Let me be in control of your life, circumstances and means and material things of life, and automatically come under the canopy of God's protection, you see? Those are the things God will take care of. But if we could come to a place in life and realize, Lord, I've been at the brook of my circumstances. I've been enjoying my circumstances. I don't want the boat to rock. I don't want an upset in the balance of my pursuits, my earthly pursuits. Lord, I'm comfortable. Then when God rocks the boat and he makes us uncomfortable, then will I have any spiritual depth to be able to cope with such a thing? And that's what the Lord wants us to learn. Trust him. Rely on him. Because the brook may dry up. And if it does, may we be prepared enough. And, you know, even now as I speak, that, believe me, in my heart, I often wonder. This morning going over the lesson, last three nights, been going over the lesson, I said, Frank, if that brook dries up in you, how are you going to react? You see, when you're speaking, it's an awesome responsibility. Brother Roddy could tell you, and others who minister the word, it's not easy, because it may happen to you at any day. And so, you've got an island, and all people that are watching, they heard you when you preach. Now it comes to you. How are you going to be affected? How are you going to relate when the brook dries up? And so, it's an awesome responsibility. And I'm not speaking to you today as one of, you know, the expert in these things, in these matters. I preach it in fear and in trembling. Believe me. And I'm saying this from the sincerity of my heart. Because I'm just like you. When it comes, I need the same grace. I need the same love. I need the same tender care of the Lord Jesus. No different. We're all one body. We're members of that family. And it's a wonderful family. It's a wonderful family. There's still nothing comparable to the family of God. I don't care where you go in the world. It is still the best family. And we've got so much going for us. So what we are trying to do is we briefly look at the life of Elijah, just to look at some of the circumstances, apply it to our hearts, so that when it comes, I may be best fitted to meet it and to They will be able to lean on God, to trust Him for direction, for help. And if the brook should dry up, it's not the end of the world for the believer. Remember that, okay? Remember, what he is saying is you've been trusting that brook, but I want you to trust me because this river will never dry up. That's what the Lord Jesus is teaching us. Whenever you trust me, there'll be springs of water. We sing it many times in our youth services. And every time I sing it, I say in my heart, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because that spring of living water is there and is for us to enjoy. And God wants to give it an abundance until it just overflows in our life and becomes a river. And where it'll flow to others and others will be blessed. Other Christians that we meet will be blessed. And as we witness, they will be saved. May we just lean on Him today, trust Him, because that water, that supply will never, never lack. Father, we thank You for Your precious word. We confess there are times that the brook has dried and there is a drought, and we feel many times there's nothing worse than the spiritual drought in our life because that's the time we become complacent. And Father, sometimes we grumble the most then. Help us, Lord. Help us to be strong. Help us to be a rejoicing people in Your presence today. Help us to enjoy the Lord, not to endure You, but to enjoy You. Help us to be faithful to the commitment that we made and for the fact that You have also committed Yourself to us. Help us to enjoy it. Live in the enjoyment of it to the glory of God. And You know the needs represented today, how we pray for each person, Lord. We pray that You will encourage their hearts. And we think of our dear brother Gordon and Luann. We don't understand the trauma of these things, but we pray that You'll be everything to this family. You know their needs, and we just commend them to You and pray that their life will be enriched. And that You will encourage them. That if he feels that the brook is dried up in his life, help him, Lord, to understand that Your river never dries. Stand by him today, Father, and encourage his heart. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, Pastor.